Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I'm really excited about our expert today because I have known Christina for at least a decade, I think, and she has been on my things. We have collaborated on multiple things. I have been on her podcast. We have done many things together and have had many conversations. I personally have read both her books. I have been on her mailing list for a long time. I love every single thing that she does. And I have to tell you that when she told me about this thing that we're going to talk about today, I knew I had to share it with you. So I'm really excited to have her on the show. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Christina Daves is a publicity strategist who works with her clients and together with them has over 1 billion views and over 100 million in sales through free publicity. Having no resources for advertising or hiring a PR firm, Christina taught herself everything she could about generating her own publicity. She has appeared in over 1,000 local and national media outlets, including The Steve Harvey Show, Dr. Oz, The Today Show, and in magazines such as Forbes, Success, and Entrepreneur, just to name a few. And she's also a regular contributor on Good Morning Washington. So I'm going to tell you, I'm very excited that we got her here with us today. So welcome, Christina, and thank you for being here with me.
Hey, Patty. Oh, it's so great to reconnect and be here on your show. I'm super excited.
I am too. So before we dive into our topic today, which just to whet you guys' appetite and have you get your pen and paper out, we're going to be talking about the four seasons of publicity and pitching the media. So this is something you all need to do. And if you're not getting the results you want, you'll probably do better after today's show. But before we go there, Christina, could you just share a little bit about your background and your story that kind of led you? We hinted at it a little bit about how you taught yourself, but let's kind of tell everybody a little bit of your story first.
Yeah. So I have invented a product, which is fashion accessories for medical boots. And I had a very unfortunate accident where I broke my foot, and most people have seen those awful, you know, those black or gray boots. And I was going to New York, and I thought, I can't go to New York looking like this. So I'm Googling for anything to make it look better, and there was nothing on the market. So I did everything you're supposed to do in business. Everyone listening to this, you've done your business plans, you've done your focus groups. Everybody loved the idea. But my problem was that I had invented a whole new space in the marketplace and nobody knew that this product existed. You know, it was brand new. So I had to figure out, you know, how to market it. And I had spent all my money on manufacturing. So there was nothing left. So I learned publicity. I got really good at it really fast. In my first year in business, I was in over 50 media outlets, including the Steve Harvey Show, where I won his top inventor competition. That really put me on the map, and that made me realize the power of publicity. And since then, I have been, you know, walking the walk and then teaching people how to do this, because most people listening cannot afford consistently to hire a PR firm. It's just not in our budgets.
I think that is so true, because most of us are putting our money back into our business, whether it is, you know, hiring the right coach to get us to the next level, or in software or tools or whatever the case may be. But this is something that I think is really important and shouldn't be forgotten. You know, I mean, I'm all about teaching and I speak all the time on how to leverage the media, but I really love this how to do it yourself angle. I think it is something that is really, really important. And because it's something that you can do consistently, but one of the things that I heard you say that really hit me was one, that there's four seasons. So that way, you know that people are, maybe the reason why they're not getting the results is because they're literally pitching at the wrong time to the wrong people, right? But the second thing was how important it was to plan an annual calendar for pitching. And I think that is really important. So it's always important, obviously, to have a strategy. I'm a strategist. I talk about strategy all the time. But that one thing stopped me in my tracks and really made me realize, wow, maybe, you know, we all know that we have a calendar for our content. Why wouldn't we have a calendar for pitching the media and for publicity? So tell us really about how important, like how important is it on a scale of say 1 to 10 in planning that annual calendar?
20. No, it's so important because we're all overwhelmed anyway. Oh my gosh, I need to write a blog. I need to do content. I need to just stay out there, because it's important because the media is going to check you out before they use you. So you have to have that. You have to show that you're an expert. You have to have content or other media or things like that. So when you build out your calendar, and I always recommend with my clients that you do an evergreen calendar. So this is the stuff that isn't going to change that relates to your business. And you have your evergreen calendar and you have the people you're going to pitch to, and then you're pitching consistently. And then when there's breaking news or something happens or there's a shift in something, you can jump in, and in between your monthly pitches or your bi-monthly pitches, whatever, however the calendar looks for you. For example, if you're in the financial space, which you probably have a lot of listeners who are, October is a huge month for you. It's all kinds of financial holidays and things and getting your stuff in order for the end of the year and the beginning of the year. So knowing that in October, you might pitch every single week, not just every month. But building that out and having that there and having a calendar so you know exactly what you need to pitch, that's just going to help you have more success.
From somebody who is in marketing, when I hear you say that, this is what pops into my mind. What pops into my mind is that I always have a calendar of all my strategic partners and promotional partners, and I always have that calendar up so when people say to me, oh, Patty, you know, I'd love for you to be a promotional partner on this or that launch, I can really clearly look at that calendar and know where and when and if it's a good time or if it's a time that I need to say, not this time, but catch me the next time, whatever the case may be. So having this calendar for this would really help me to really know when and where I should put my time, or if this, you know, like you just said, for the example you used, October, if I was in the financial industry, may not be the time. If somebody said to me, Patty, would you help me be, you know, a promotional partner to pitch my book or something, because that's a time I need to focus on something else. So I think that having that calendar could be really important in your own launches of things you're doing and when you agree to be a promotional partner for other people. So just the planning perspective from a marketing point of view makes a lot of sense to me.
Right. And here's the other thing you have to keep in mind. You're going to build out your calendar. We'll just use October again as an example, but you don't pitch, for example, national publications. You would not pitch in October for October Stories. You would for your local newspaper and your local television, but national publications are closed 4 months in advance. So what is that? May, June, July, August. So it's about June for October. You would be pitching national publications in June about your October story. So that's the other reason you need the calendar in place, so you can mark your calendar that, okay, in June I'm gonna pitch my national publications. And then in August, I'm gonna pitch my regional ones because those are 2 months out. And then in September, I'm gonna pitch all my local ones for the October stories. So that's why it's so important too. The idea is, and I learned this the hard way with my product wanting to be in gift guides. I was pitching the gift guides in November for December, and come to find out gift guides, if you have a pros in June, 6 months in advance,
Wow. That's way far in advance.
Yep. And again, I walk the walk. So as I share these examples with you all, I've done it. I've made the mistakes. So now I can help you. So you're not, like I said, you're not pitching Real Simple Magazine for their October edition in September, because it's done. It's printed. It's closed. It's, you know, completely done. So you really have to think, put yourself in the media mindset that you're pitching. And when you're pitching smart like that, the journalists appreciate it. They understand that you understand their world.
That makes a lot of sense too. So before we dive into what are the four seasons and when, one of the things that I get asked a lot is about building relationships with journalists and how important that really is, and how important it is to do it before you want to pitch the story to them. And yeah. I always tell my clients, you need to build that relationship so when they need a quote or they need something, that you've become their trusted, you know, resource, and they'll come to you sometimes even too. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Go, you know, pick your journalists that you want to follow and find them on social media. Do a Twitter list. Even if you're not active on Twitter, do that so that you can see what they're talking about and share their work, comment on their work. If they're active on LinkedIn, connect with them on LinkedIn. 99% of journalists are on Twitter. That's where you're going to find them. Don't go to their personal Facebook page. That's not the place to engage on a professional level. But again, or you could even if you're not active on Twitter, but you see they're pushing out a story, you could share that link on LinkedIn, if that's where you're active, and tag them. Just make sure they know that you're sharing the love. And maybe you read an article in your space and they missed something. That's a great time to say, hey, if you ever do a follow-up, you know, maybe you didn't know about this. Not pitching yourself, just providing value to them.
I love that. You know, one of the things that happened to me locally is I did this panel of local media. And one of the things I learned, which was kind of funny because I was the one that was doing the panel, but one of the things I learned was from somebody in the media, which her job was locally all the new restaurants that were opening. So that's what she would pitch, all the dining things. And so she said that what she loved is that she couldn't be everywhere. And that she would love it if when people tweet to her and say, oh, did you notice on the corner of, you know, blah, 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 and blah, 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 right? They're opening a brand new this, or they're opening a brand new that. And she said she loved that and loved the power of us, you know, kind of telling her where she should be. Mm-hmm. And I built that relationship with her. Literally now she knows me. And so whenever something comes up that is a fit for me, she'll literally like just kind of drop me a line, send me a, you know, a direct message on Twitter and say, oh, here, check this out or that. And so she kind of gives me these little tidbits of information that help me. And so I think that that is really important in building those relationships with journalists.
It is. And here's what's really, really important about that too, is journalists move around. So one of my very first media hits, do you remember examiner.com? That was kind of like the first big blog that that really was out there. So this woman had done an article about Castmatic and me and how I invented this product. Well, 2 years later, she's at Forbes. And she reached out to me and she said, Christina, I always loved your story. Now I'm at Forbes. I just pitched my editor and they said I can do a story about you. So that's how that happens too. They do move around. And especially in the at the national television level, like the shows, like the old producer of the Steve Harvey show is now producing the Kelly Clarkson show. And prior to that, she did the Meredith Vieira show. So, you know, these shows only last a couple years, but those producers all move around and they all need guests and stories and things. So when you build that relationship, you know, you can get to them at the new shows too.
I love that. So before we dive into the four seasons, which I know is the main thing that we're going to do, I have one more question, really, yeah. And then we'll jump in there. So my question is really about newsjacking. So I love newsjacking, and I talk about it all the time. My clients hear me talk about it, and I talk about it a lot in my Leverage the Media talk. And I think it is really so important. It has been so wonderful for me and for my clients. And I know that I explain it from a marketing and media strategist's point of view, I would love to really hear your point of view of how to effectively use newsjacking.
Oh my goodness. It is the key to getting media. It's knowing what's happening in the media that the media is talking about. Right now, what's hot? Some news cycles are long. You know, COVID is a long news cycle, but you've got other aspects of it that you can talk about. There are different people. What's your expertise? Ever's on, if there's a new study that came out, that's a great time. And what you do is you share that study with the journalist. So let's say, you know, the top association in your industry just did a study and you can talk about that. Well, you get to ride the credibility coattails of the people who did that study, but position you as the expert for the media. And basically what you're doing is you're making their job easier because you've got this hot topic and they're going to need those peripheral stories that relate to the topic, but not the way it first came into the media. So following that news cycle, what are they covering? How, you know, and then you get, I love to tell the story. If you remember years and years ago, it was kind of the first, it was Target on Black Friday when all the credit card numbers had been hacked. Mm-hmm. And I remember my local media, it was 4 o'clock news. They had a business coach on. I was like, I don't want to hear a business coach. I want to hear from an IT person, a cloud expert, who's going to tell me who has my credit card number. But I guarantee you that that woman picked up the phone and said, I could be in studio at 4 o'clock for your next news to talk about the business impact on Target. And boom, she was the first story that they ran. That's newsjacking. And that's literally when you pick up the phone and say, hey, I've got the story for you.
And that's when it's really good to have built those relationships so that they'll pick up the phone, right? So
exactly.
I love that. Okay, so now let's dive into the four seasons. So I know I just love this topic so much, I have to tell you. And I think it's really valuable. So let's take us through, you know, what some of those seasons are. And really, I really like that you said that before. This is one of the things that really caught my attention that you said is before planning your annual media calendar, check out a magazine's editorial calendar to see what they will be covering during those months. And that it's a Google search. And when you said that, I have used that so much. That was a great, great tip about that when you're talking about magazines. You know, I have a magazine. And so for me, I thought, oh, that is so good.
Right. And that goes back to the 4 months out or 2 months out. So, right, you just Google the name of the publication, the editorial calendar. So what an editorial calendar really is for advertising so that the salespeople can go out and say, hey, in the September issue, we're going to be covering X, Y, and Z. Your product or service would be perfect to advertise. But from an editorial perspective, what it tells us is what the magazine's going to be covering. So that way we know we can pitch and say, hey, I saw that in September you're going to be covering X, Y, and Z. Here's a story idea for you. And then boom, 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 and then you do your pitch.
I love that. Okay, so when somebody's getting ready to do a pitch in one of these seasons using what you shared with us, when somebody's doing the pitch, which is the best way to communicate? Email? Like, what is the best way? I know you said that they're on Twitter, but what's the best way? How long should it be? Because I know sometimes people get way wordy about what they put in their pitch. So how much information do they need to put in the pitch?
So first of all, you want to do email. They've done so many studies and there's so many studies out there, but, and I think it's a crazy 80-85%, some very, very high number want email pitches. The pitch needs to be short and sweet. And I'm going to give you a formula at the end that's going to tell you exactly how to do it. But you've got to hook them in with that subject line. If you've got that study that gives you the credibility, maybe it's a quote that you're going to provide. Your pitch is maybe two sentences and three bullet points. It's not long at all. You want them to want you. You want them to come to you. If you give them everything, and I actually have interviewed a lot of journalists, so I do know this, but someone who actually became, you talk about building relationships, became a dear friend, was a news anchor of my local Fox station. And she used to tell me, she said, Christina, the PR firms make it easy for me. They send me, you know, 50 sentences with no breaks, no paragraph breaks, no anything. She said, I just hit delete. I won't even read them. So think of your email box. What emails do you read? What do you flag? And what do you just delete? And think of a journalist who might be getting 500 emails a day.
Now that's good, right? I mean, when you think about that, that's really good and kind of gives you a visual, because we all know what our inbox looks like, right?
Yes. So
that was really good information. So thank you so much for that. Okay, so now let's dive into season. So let's just take them one at a time. If you don't mind, let's just talk about season one.
Yeah, so I broke up the year into 3-month increments. So we have 4 seasons. So January is your time of what is the year going to look like? What are your predictions for that year? And what's really important about your predictions is if you make a kind of an outlandish prediction in your industry, but you feel pretty strongly about it, and that prediction comes true sometime throughout the year, you're a hero. You can say, hey, here's my post that I did in January. I knew this is going to happen. This is why I knew. You instantly position yourself as that expert. But this is the time for making those predictions. You know, if we have a presidential election and an inauguration in January, what does that mean? You know, this is your time in your industry. I will tell you a story. I had a meeting with the head of the United Inventors Association after the last presidential election, and he was in DC to meet with Hillary Clinton's staff the day after the election, because they knew, you know, everyone was pretty sure how the election was going to go. And then when President Trump was elected, that kind of changed everything for their association. All their contacts were gone, all of this. So, but maybe people who were pretty sure that Trump was going to be elected and who were saying that all along about their business, then all of a sudden they're the ones who the media can use on that day after. So it's really putting those kinds of things into perspective. And also resolutions, we all know this. Everyone goes on a diet. Everybody's going to clean out their house. All these things in January. But then what happens when they don't? And I can't remember the date. I think there's a certain date in the end of January or early February when 80 or 90% of all people have failed at their resolutions. So what does that mean? But that's just a good thing to look at. What kinds of things were people doing? What are they being successful at? You know, when the year kicks off, we all want new, fresh beginnings.
I think that's really good. And it does lead off with what those things are. I kind of think for me, it always comes back to, I always laugh myself quietly when I see gurus, those were in quotes right there, that are all talking about how you should take their program in November so that you can, you know, set your goals for the next year. And I always chuckle to myself because I'm thinking, if you're waiting to November, December to work on your goals for the next year, your first quarter already sucks. You know, because you need to be doing it long before then. You know, it's summertime, you know, in June that I start working like I am right now on what is my plan for 2021. And, you know, you always sometimes have to pivot because stuff happens like now. But with that said, it's kind of almost like this cycle that you're talking about here is really that you can't be focusing on what's happening right in this minute when you're setting those up. So I really love this. And I hope that people can take this same application of this and apply it to other areas in their business.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what else should they be thinking about in this season one?
Well, you always want to look at the holidays. Always, always. What holidays are during that place, during that time? You know, what's going on seasonally during that time? Obviously, this is winter in most places. You've got things like the Academy Awards. I know a lot of people who have tied a business story to a feature film that's nominated. You know, maybe it's, and the one that comes to mind is like Wolf of Wall Street. That was a great time for financial people to pitch, you know, why was this bad? Why did this happen? Why could this happen again? Why will it never happen again? Things like that. So if there is something you can tie your business to the fashion of the Oscars, to a certain, maybe there's an actor or actress that, you know, is involved in the same nonprofit that you're on. Maybe you're doing it locally, but they're doing it on a national level. But it's always keeping your eyes and ears open. What's going on that time of year? There are, you know, trips. If you're a travel agent, you know, best bang for your buck, spring break trips. you know, and then look at the non-traditional calendar and look at the funny holidays. You would be surprised at things. March is National Nutrition Month. So if you're a fitness person or nutrition expert, that's a great time to pitch, you know, your local television, your morning show. Hey, it's National Nutrition Month. I'm going to come in and show people how, you know, how to revamp what they're cooking, you know, something like that. But always pay attention to the calendar and what's going on during your season, during that season, and pitch appropriately.
I think that could be for a lot of things moving forward in almost every season. Because I got to tell you, based on what you said about the Academy Awards, I remember one of the greatest stories that I read was when somebody wrote this really good blog post about what they learned from Olivia Pope for their business. And it was so good that I just thought that was so funny from, you know, that they were talking about it when she won the award. And really, Olivia Pope was her character, but everybody knew what that character was. And the way that he tied that into what he learned from his business, like, stuck with me. I thought that was so good.
Yep. So it's getting creative, and this is muscle memory. I want to tell you guys, as I go through this, the more you hear it, the more you do it, the more it will just come to you. Be like, oh, here's an idea. Oh, here's an idea. And it really is, it will become muscle memory, and you will start pitching consistently.
Perfect. So basically, there's some things that apply to all seasons, like what you just said about holidays and certain things like that. And then there will be things that will be specific to a certain season.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of sounds interesting. I love that you said that during season three, that it's the easiest time to land publicity. Why is that?
This is so important. And I walked the walk. So August is the slowest news month. Think about it. Everyone's on vacation in August. This is the best time to get media, to pitch, to start building those relationships. And I had been pitching Good Morning Washington for 5 months. And I kept getting no, no, no. Well, finally in August, they said, all right, we'll give you a shot. Let's see. And I know they did it because they thought, oh, nobody's going to be watching. Let's just let her on and then we'll tell her, oh, thanks, but no thanks. But I prepared, and that is one of the most important things that you all should walk away from this. When you get this opportunity for an interview or a television segment, please prepare, do your homework. I recorded hours of Good Morning Washington. So I knew exactly when I went in there. And I knocked it out of the park, and I got done, and they came over and they said, the control room loves you. They said, you can come back anytime. Pitch us stories. We'll have you on regularly. So, but it started because I pitched in August, again, consistently trying, but August is just, no one is around. And it's, you know, when you call a newsroom in August, you'll get a person on the phone. So that's my biggest recommendation. And I recommend building up to it, but like I did. But you should, if you do a good story that's relatable to something going on in August, you should be able to get media exposure.
I love that. And then you told me that the busiest time of the media calendar is really the fourth season. Yeah. And it's also the most competitive, you said. Why is that?
Because that's it. It's end of the year roundups. This is where if you made a prediction in January that happened, this is a great time to pitch that. You've got to stand out from the noise. You've got all the gift guides. So the magazines were done in June, but you've got all the .coms. And again, everybody, and if you're in an election year, the end of the year, forget it. I mean, it's just hard to get in. That's why your pitches have to be really focused, really good. Business stories are hard at the end of the year, unless they're end of year wrap-ups in your industry. It's not a fluff time unless you have a product or, you know, a food or something that's related to the holidays, something that's gifting, something travel related. That's a great time for the fourth quarter. But the business ones, you really need to be strategic about how and what you're pitching the media.
That is so good, Christina. I think it makes a lot of sense. And then we have your books. So you have two books. So tell us a little bit about your books And in the show notes, we will make sure that we have the links for them. But tell us a little bit about your books. What's the difference between both of them? And just a little bit about them, and we'll share where they can get them.
Yeah. So I wrote the first one, PR for Anyone, 100 plus affordable ways to easily create buzz for your business. Because everyone was asking me, Christina, how did you get all this media exposure? How are you doing this? So I kind of broke it into 126 tips, and I told my story. This is what I did. And it was easy because, you know, when I first started out, there was no way I would ever go on television. That was not even in my realm of possibility. But as time evolves, I became a regular on television. So I wanted to update it. So what I did is then the second book, which just came out this year, is the DIY Guide to Free Publicity, 100 plus things you can do to get media coverage for your business now. So I took that old book and I updated it. So some of the tips are similar, but there's case studies in there. And I find that when people see a case study and see how this real estate agent got on television or this financial person got in Forbes, or whatever it is, and you see it, you think, oh, I could do that. So it's filled, packed full of case studies to see exactly how people got their business in the media.
Oh, that is so good. I love that. I have both of them. They are amazing. And like I said, we will make sure that we have the links in the show notes to that. But that wasn't enough. Christina actually came bearing gifts too. So on top of that, Christina, you actually brought a gift for the audience as well.
I did. So I've talked about several things here today. But you can download a full guide that'll really take you through step by step how to pitch the media. So it'll talk about these seasons a little bit, but it'll just give you more actionable items of things that you can do. So my goal is to get people to start pitching now, today. I cannot tell you how many people I've worked with that have landed in the media in 7 days, less than 30 days. My Good Morning Washington took 5 months. That was kind of long. Most people that I work with, because they do it right, get in right away.
I love that. And we're going to have that link in the show notes as well. So Christina, how can people connect with you?
My website is christinadaves.com. That will take you to everything and anything I do, the boots, speaking, all my social media platforms. You can join my challenge. It's all on there. Just go to christinadaves.com.
Perfect. I love it when people make it easy. And now we get to the portion of the show that I always like to call hashtag open mic. It's my version of social karaoke. And this is where I love to ask our guests to share with us, like she gave us so much, right? But I'm going to ask you to really share with us your number one marketing, media, or money strategy on what's working right now.
So what I did is I created a system, and the system works. And I call it my get famous formula. And I know there are people on here who say, oh, I don't want to be famous. But you need to be famous in your industry, because if you're not, somebody else will be. And they are not going to be as good as you are. The people who do this, who work on it, are the ones that people find, and they're the ones that people work with. So you have to do this. It's very important that you become famous in your industry. And it's really simple. It's a three-step process. You want to be newsworthy, which is basically what we just talked about, the seasonality. That's something that's newsworthy. You want to create a great hook, which is your subject line. Don't say, here's a story idea for you. Give them something good. A great way to find hooks is magazine covers. Think of why you buy a magazine. It's an impulse purchase that you buy at the grocery store because of the hooks on the cover of the magazine. Get familiar with what hooks are. We don't have time to read the magazine. It's a teaser. And that's what I want you to do with the media. I want you to tease them so that they have to open your email. And then the final step is finding the right journalist. Make sure that you're pitching your business story to the business editor. You're not pitching your business story to the food editor. And build that muscle, build that list, whether it's 5 journalists, 10 journalists, 20 journalists, add to it. But making sure that you are pitching a good story to the right person and you've got a great hook for them to open your email is how you're going to have success with the media.
That is a fabulous strategy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Christina, for being here with us today. I appreciate you sharing your brilliance so generously.
Thank you. It's always great to be together with you, Patty.
Oh, thank you so much. And for those of you out there, thank you for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And make sure to check out our sister publication, the Marketing Media and Money Magazine. You can get a free lifetime subscription right now at marketingmediamoney.com. Make it a phenomenal day. Remember, you have all the power. If your day is not phenomenal, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.